Holy Spirit of Jesus, bless our ears and our hearts to receive your word and your word alone. Amen. Many years ago, before I even thought of ordination, I was in a church study group where the question was posed, what is the most important thing to you about religion? And I answered that I wanted to avoid suffering. The priest, a black priest named Robert Mayo, said to me, there is a whole religion that focuses on avoiding suffering, but it's not Christianity. Of course, we all want to avoid suffering. And as did Peter in today's gospel, when Jesus asked Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Messiah. Then Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must eventually undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders and be killed and after 3 days arise again. Peter then took Jesus aside to argue with him about it, and Jesus turned on him in very harsh language, calling Peter Satan. Get away from me. You don't know what you are talking about. And I think Jesus must have felt a little tempted too, not to suffer, or he wouldn't have gotten so upset at Peter. And then he teaches them that not only will he have to suffer, Jesus, but those who follow him will have to suffer. The New Testament, Norman Perrin writes, as the master went, so must the disciples be prepared to go. Perrin also teaches that Mark's gospel was written very much within the unfolding drama of Jesus' life and still waiting for the apocalyptic ending, the second coming. So the original readers of Mark needed to be ready to take up their crosses and follow. That is the suffering of discipleship. And that's not the subject of my sermon today, but it's a very specific thing, the suffering of discipleship. As we know, the second coming did not happen, as Mark predicted, but the questions of Jesus are still very important, as is the problem of suffering. Who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? There are probably very many answers to that question, as there are people here today. Each of you may have a different answer or several answers, and some perhaps do not have an answer. I've several times in my ministry had parishioners come and say, well, I get God, I get the Holy Spirit, but why do we need Jesus? We do not necessarily need an intellectual answer, but we do need a practical answer to that. We just finished singing Jesus is Mine. That is a great testimony to what we need. We need to feel him close. When life is going well, I personally am very happy to pray to God, the Creator, and the Holy Spirit. But when I hurt, when fear, worry, sickness, discord, anxiety, or guilt come to me, I turn to Jesus. Because he seems more approachable, and he's a human, and he lived this life. He knows what it's like. Some Christians turn to Mary, the mother of Jesus, and that is very comforting, or to one of the saints, because they also seem more human than the Almighty Creator. Jesus is a bridge between the Almighty and us small humans, especially when we suffer. And there are so many different kinds of human suffering. It is not easy to be a human being. The bridge, he's the bridge when we grieve. He's the bridge when we sin. He's the bridge when we're afraid. He's the bridge when we're lonely. The New Testament theologian Cynthia Bourgeau writes in her book, The Wisdom Jesus, from God's eye view of creation, the real challenge is not sin and evil. It is posed by the vastly unequal energetic frequencies between God's power and our smallness. How can the sun touch a snowflake? How can the divine radiance meet and interpenetrate created life without incinerating it? The Christian answer to those questions is the incarnation. Jesus is the bridge between the realms because he was a human being. He was so aware of God and so in love with God that he radiated a presence that actually helped heal people and gave them hope and made them feel whole. So if we hopefully stay focused on Jesus in our daily life, in our challenges, we can get closer to Jesus' perspective. Every day, it's work for us every day. And that way, we can avoid some suffering. We can avoid the unnecessary suffering of anxiety and pride and ego and shame. Jesus doesn't want us to suffer those unnecessary things. But there remains the legitimate, unavoidable suffering of life. We cannot avoid legitimate suffering, and Jesus did not. We may learn to accept things that cannot be changed, but sometimes it still hurts. It hurts to lose a loved one. It hurts to fight with a family member. It hurts to fear the unknown of cancer treatment. Oh, we can try to avoid those legitimate sufferings, and we do. Buddhist Pema Chodron wrote, "We use all kinds of ways to escape. All addictions stem from that moment when we meet our edge and we just can't stand it anymore. We feel we have to soften it, to pad it with something, and we become addicted to whatever it is that seems to ease the pain. But there is another way. There are probably many other ways. But the way that I want to hold up today is community. A community that knows about suffering and also knows that we can get through it without escaping." 19 years ago, my husband George and I moved from Wyoming to Washington, D.C. to be near our daughter and her husband Chris and their two children because the two-year-old, Hannah, had a rare form of leukemia. And the baby, Phoebe, was brand newborn. The family needed constant child care, help, and support. It was hard, and it was sad. And although there were some good times in that year and 3 months before Hannah died, there were also days of plain, unavoidable suffering. Hannah's suffering, a little child, her parents, ours and the other grandparents, and all who loved Hannah. And during that time, we worshiped at St. Albans Church in Washington, D.C., and were deeply supported by the great preaching of Frank Wade, and also by the laying on of hands of their healing team. Well, one night, I've spoken about this before, but it bears repeating. One night, George and I went to the Kennedy Center to experience something called the Gospel Mass Choir, and I shall never forget it. Most of the audience and all of the choirs were African American. There were well over 1,000 men, women, and children in their choir robes of many colors. Each church had its own color, and as they marched down the aisle in a cadence, it was very moving in that huge, big auditorium, so many voices. The featured performer was Donnie McClurkin. Donnie's songs went deeply into the experience of unavoidable suffering, and I felt surrounded by people who understood. The song that rings in my head to this day is called Stand. It's been in my car CD player for the last 19 years, and whenever I hurt, I listen to it and sing it. These are the words. Donnie sings, "What do you do when you've done all you can and it seems like it's never enough? Tell me, what do you give when you've given your all and it seems like you can't make it through? Tell me, how do you handle the guilt of your past? Tell me, how do you deal with the shame? How can you smile while your heart has been broken and filled with pain? Then, the 1,000 voices came in singing, "Well, you just stand. You just stand. There's nothing left to do. You just stand and watch the Lord see you through. After you've done all you can, you just stand. You just stand and be sure. You just stand and endure. Child, you just stand and watch the Lord see you through. After you've gone through the hurt, after you've gone through the pain, after you've gone through the storm, and after you've gone through the rain, prayed and cried, Lord, prayed and cried. After you've done all you can, you just stand in community. And Jesus, the bridge, stands with us here this morning in community, his compassionate spirit radiating the love of the community. Maybe some of you can feel him. Maybe you can imagine him. Some may go to the healing bench to receive the assurance that his healing hands are available to bring you peace and healing. He is with us. We call it Holy Communion. We feed on him. We absorb him. We know his strength, and we love him. And we love each other. That love is why we come to worship. He asks us, "Who do you say that I am?" Jesus, you're the one we love and trust to stand with us in joy and in life's unconsolable sorrow. You are the one who will accompany us through the valley of the shadow of death, so we need fear no evil. Jesus, you are the bridge we can stand on. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.